it's perfect time to release it. This is the game everyone's been waiting for, and it's literally a game about you being poor and homeless on an island with an evil landlord. Like, could it be more perfect?
I had not made that connection.
Welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 508, I think. My name is James Gilmore. I'm in my locked down fortress, about 100 or so miles away from my co-host, Rick Cowley.
Hello. I am also locked down. It is sad. I just want to go outside, James. I just want to feel safe.
I know I said that you're 100 miles away. Could you just, like, just take a couple of steps, just a few steps back? Just that's great. Thank you. Put me at ease.
How's this?
It's brilliant. Beautiful. Thank you very much. We'll do the whole show. Oh, God. So, how is everybody? Is everyone okay out there? I really hope that you are. We are in weird and unprecedented and trying times, all of us. But we're here. We're going to be here. We're going to stay here for a bit. In many ways, Rick, you and I, and probably some gaming enthusiasts out there, have been in training for this our whole lives. Stay inside.
I have a life outside my home. Exactly. Thank you very much. Just not much of one.
Stay inside and play games, you say? No, it's all very grim. Yes, we're in England, as you can tell from our accents, and I think we're about to go into full lockdown. The school's closed today, and a lot of people have already been told to stay home. We're waiting for the official mandate that says, no, you have to stay home officially by law. If you're in the States or anyone else around the world, everyone's at different points at the moment with this thing of where they are. But wherever you are, A, we hope that you're well and safe. B, do stay inside, please, for the sake of everyone doing it. You know, all this chaos, all this shops with no stuff in them anymore, and work shutting down for a lot of people and people losing their jobs and all that. That's all done so that the old people who are susceptible to this might not die so much. So if those same old people then carry on doing this, well, my freedoms, by the way, I'm off to the pub, which appears to be what's going on at the moment, then all of this is for nothing. All of these lost jobs, all of this chaos, all of these future are just for nothing. So please do yourself and your parents and your grandparents a favour, and me, because we're all in it together, aren't we?
We that's certainly what they say. Are. Wash your darn hands.
Yes, for goodness
sake. 20 seconds.
The only good thing to come out of the whole pandemic is people going like, so I hear you're supposed to wash your hands. I've never why didn't my parents mention this?
I saw an article recently about someone reached out to men on Twitter about why they don't wash their hands after peeing, and it's like, now would be a good time to learn that is a terrible thing to do and that you should be washing your hands lots.
You're all filthy. But so we're gonna try and keep this as sort of positive as possible, because it's easy to get caught up in the doom and gloom, and we're all susceptible to it. And, you know, there are a lot of people in this industry particularly who perhaps have issues with things like anxiety and stuff like that. And so stuff like this is awful for everyone, and particularly bad if you're already prone to panic under normal circumstances. So we're here with lots of fun things that you can do to keep your mind off this stuff. To help out with that, we're going to show you a whole bunch of free games that you can get, because a lot of publishers and developers have been stepping up and making their games free or reduced so that we can all chill out a little bit in these difficult days. Plus, we are going to do all the new release stuff as well. We've been playing some things in a backlog, and we're going to address the big Animal Crossing-shaped elephant in the corner of the island. So all of that coming up, but first the news. Game of Thrones Beyond the Wall. Pre-registration for this game is currently open, and it's going to be going properly live on March 26th, so about a week from today. This is a strategy game, so it's a grid-based, turn-based strategy thing in which you take control of characters from the show and do your battles, and then in the background there is a bunch of overarching world plotty stuff happening, and you have to gather your forces from around the Seven Kingdoms. And does anyone care about Game of Thrones anymore, Rick? Or did that last series just kill all goodwill anyone had towards the series?
I stopped caring about Game of Thrones before the last series, which I feel so smug about, watching everyone lose their minds over the ending and feeling very disappointed. I think people probably still care about it a little bit.
I don't know.
It's an interesting one because it's obviously not active anymore, although they were supposedly working on like prequels and sequels and that kind of thing.
They are doing
and
that,
all those spin-offs. So it might have like a second wind later on in the year if something else pops up. But I think it's an interesting sounding game, and it's interesting because it's being made by Behaviour, who did Fallout Shelter most famously on mobile.
Right.
And this is very, very different from anything they've really done.
Yeah, I assumed this was going to be much lighter than it is.
They're known for like base building and that kind of thing, and this is very much a turn-based strategy game with murder and death and all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting that they're sort of shifting away from what they're known for and trying new things, and that's, I think, really it's going to be an interesting game. I keep saying the word interesting, but that's the only kind of adjective I can think for it.
It's true, and it makes sense to do something that's turn-based and warlike on Game of Thrones. I'm not sure that's been done yet. There's been a lot of narrative-style games, but not a lot in terms of the, like, let's do a big war, which is something that we were all expecting from Game of Thrones and sort of didn't really happen in the way we thought it would in the end. I'm wondering if the bad ending of the show, or the perceived bad ending of the show, let's say, results in people never wanting to have anything to do with it, or they're now looking for things to remind them why it was good in the first place.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there could still be some interest in this, and as you say, there's at least one show coming, so that'll continue and the books are still going. So this property's not dead, and it won't die. It made too much money to be dead. So you can pre-register now if you're interested, and if you do pre-register, you get a bunch of bonuses, you get goals, you get 10 carved glyphs and 90 shards of Jon Snow the old bear. I don't know what it is, but you can get all that stuff now. But the game itself out next week, and we will cover it then. Also, if you've been listening to previous podcasts, you know we talked about events getting cancelled. Now, to address our own stuff, we are launching Pocket Gamer Connects Digital, which is a thing that you might see plastered over the sites now. So obviously we do events all through the year. We were going to be doing Seattle, we're going to be doing like China and Jordan and all these other things this year. Clearly that's been thrown into flux. We will have a proper official update for you as to what's being moved to when, because clearly it's going to adjust some of our current plans. But we're rolling out something we've been planning to do for ages, which is Pocket Gamer Connects Digital. We're going to bring the conferences online. And this seems like the perfect time to do that. So if you're in any way interested, Rick, there's loads of stuff on Pocket Gamer Biz about this. We can go and sign up, isn't there?
Yes, tons of information. We've got a list of the people who are ready to speak. We've got people like, I think, Rovio are involved. I probably got that wrong. I know for a fact that Super Evil Megacorp, the creators of Vainglory, will be there speaking.
Yep.
And we're still looking for speakers, so I know there's some developers will listen to this podcast. If you want to get involved, check out pocketgamer.biz. There's still room for you to come and join in, and obviously tickets are available right now.
We've got the dude from Mixi, we've got Sabrina from King, like proper big developers, people who would have been at the show. So we're going to do these online conference things. It's going to be great. We were testing the tech yesterday. It works well, but it's actually quite a lot of fun, because they let you put backdrops behind you, even if you don't have a green screen. So we've been messing around with that. It's going to be a really good time and super informative. So go and get yourself involved in that. Also, GDC obviously got cancelled, as did a lot of other events. What they've done, or they've announced, as of what, yesterday, today even, they are doing something else. So instead of cancelling it completely, they're doing a 3-day event this summer, right?
Yeah, so GDC Summer, as it is known, is celebrating the craft, design, and technology behind games, I think is their main thrust line. So I think it'll have all the same sort of talks and technical deep dives as people might have seen in the PS5 reveal this week. Mm. I think there's also going to be like a 2-day show floor for expo sort of space for games to be shown, although they're describing it as like a freestyle space, so kind of don't really know what's actually happening there, but it's still at the same place, it's still at sort of the Moscone or Moscone Center in San Francisco, so it's still going to be relatively large scale. And yeah, it sounds really cool, and hopefully some of us will be out there as well.
Yeah, we have to hope it happens. The idea is August the 4th to the 6th. Now, clearly, any date anyone says right now, I think, is subject to change.
Yes.
This is all, like, optimistic programming, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. But obviously, keep you updated. And it's good to think about, like, there is an end to this. There will be an end to all of this. It's very easy to get caught up in the doom and gloom, but this is a temporary thing, and we will knock this on the head. We can already see, you know, China or other places seeing much lower cases, and it's all, you know, they're on the downward slope. We're currently on the upward bit, but there will be a downward bit, and life will continue. So it's good to keep that in mind while we're doing all this. But until then, we're all stuck inside for a bit, or at least reducing our contact with the outside world. So this is where being into games comes to the fore. Well done, everyone, for choosing the correct hobby to deal with a massive crisis like this. So, we've got some stuff to help you on your way. First of all, we've got an article showing the 26 free games to play on your iPhone, iPad, or Android in 2020. It is a list that we are constantly updating. And loads of the big dev types have come in and gone, you know what, let's make this free for everybody for at least a bit. So we've both got a list, going to pick out some highlights here. Let's talk about Prune. Prune is amazing.
Prune is amazing. It was one of our only 10 out of 10s, I believe.
Yeah, yes, 100%. I remember the discussion had about it. You can check out the review and the video review from 2 years ago, whenever it was. It is effectively a bonsai tree growing game. And it is phenomenally clever because it's a puzzler whereby if you cut a bit off of this tree, the tree grows elsewhere. But you have to trim the tree to make sure that it moves upwards and grows around certain objects and towards certain things. And so you alter the direction of its growth by choosing which bits to cut. It is super clever, super beautiful. Like, it's incredibly, like, simple design, silhouette style. It's like relaxing and calming and makes you think and all the good stuff you would possibly want. It's great on iPad particularly. So that's gone free for a bit on the App Store, not on Google Play, unfortunately. But if you've got an iPad, then definitely go give that one a look. Who else? The Altos boys stepped up.
Yep, absolutely. Can't go wrong with both the Altos games.
Nope.
They are phenomenal snowboarding / sandboarding, endless runners kind of thing, where your main goal is to do backflips and avoid rocks and get chased by either angry elders or monkeys and that kind of thing, and just go for as long as possible. And I believe on iOS, where it is now free, they both have like a Zen mode as well, where there's no like obstacles, there's no loss, you can't fail the game at any point, you just sort of go and go and go, and it is again like Prune, beautifully serene, very calming, and definitely one to check out if you haven't already.
Totally.
I'm amazed if there are people out there who have not played the Altos games yet.
I know. Well, the thing is, the first games are... Oh, in fact, both of them, I think, are free on Google Play because they tend to release a free version over there. It's the iOS players who, you know, it was a premium game, certainly the first one. So this is your chance to get on board if you were holding back. One from my own personal favourites list, Kingdom Rush Frontiers and Kingdom Rush Origins are both free. They remain, they're just, it's the best tower defense series. It's the best. I love these games. The whole series is amazing, and they're premium games. The most recent one had, like, things that you could buy, mostly cosmetic stuff. But certainly the, I forget which order they're in now. I think Origins was the one that was kind of in between. They're just brilliant games, and they're worth a fiver. And so getting in for free is phenomenal. Immediately grab it. It's absolutely fantastic. And you want it in your face. We've got Paco. We've got Sync Party Hard is another one. Starbeard, that's pretty good. Go grab that. Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery. Awesome game. 2011, this came out on, I think, PC originally, right?
Yeah.
I feel like.
I still haven't played it. Now is the time. Yeah.
It's proper good. Like
I think I've owned it. It's one of those games you sort of have in your Steam library that you just never... You keep looking at going, I should play that, and then don't. But no, I'll definitely check that out now that it's got a glowing recommendation from you.
Yeah, no, it's ethereal, and it's got that like lovely woozy atmosphere, and the pixel art, the tall, skinny pixel art is a second to none. And, you know, they're great. Cappy Games has smashed it recently with that card game that turned out to be amazing that everyone's addicted to.
I'd also like to point out Mini Metro is on this list.
Yes.
Which is another brilliant game, city planning placement thing, but abstracted down to just circles and squares and triangles and stuff. Again, another one that actually has a Zen mode, so you can just play until you want to stop, so there's no failure, or you can have like a proper with failure mode. But both versions of it are fantastic.
Totally. Well, we've got like the 26 in the list at the moment. We are adding to it every single day as folks are announcing. So just head over to PG, check that article out. It is well worth your time. The next thing we'll move on to, you've got your free games there. A lot of those are single player, so you can sit on your own in isolation and play. But being on your own is not particularly healthy. We've all got Skype. We're all socially distancing, but it doesn't mean we have to break off contact with everyone. So let's talk multiplayer. Games to play with everybody. Number one on that list, cheating a little bit, is PUBG Mobile, COD Mobile, and Fortnite.
That's three games, James. I don't think that counts.
Basically, what we're saying is your favourite multiplayer FPS. That's or third-person shooter. That's what it is. So all of those games, a lot of you are probably playing it anyway, and they're perfect for this kind of thing. Get your shooty bang catharsis on the go, talk to all your mates, have a bit of run around, and those are three good examples of games that genuinely do work on mobile. COD Mobile's, I'm still impressed by how quite good it is. I went back to the review recently and sort of picked the game up again just to see what's changed and what they've added and the new modes and all that business. And it's like, yeah, this is fun. I'm having fun. The first-person shooter on mobile, who thought? So give all those a bash, obviously. Number two, I mean, Animal Crossing New Horizons. We'll get onto that a little bit later because obviously that's got a massive multiplayer aspect to it, which we'll cover. These games, I guess, aren't particularly exciting to me when you look at them. When they're on the list of things to play, it's like, ugh, yeah, all right, this feels a little bit old-fashioned, but whatever. So Jackbox Party Pack is the one that we recommended. So this is a multiplayer game where only one person actually needs to buy the game, the Party Pack. Everyone else can join in via their phone or via a web browser or whatever, and it is one of these things where you've got loads of access to different multiplayer games. So you've got like multiple choice general knowledge stuff. You've got like a Pictionary game called Drawful. You've got Word Spud. You've got Lifeswater, Fibbage. All these kind of party games that work brilliantly when everybody's together. But equally, if you fire up your Skype or your Discord or whatever, and one person has the game, everyone can get involved. And the reason we mention this is because like this is a good way to get your family in on it. So we're thinking maybe the folks who maybe aren't gamers, inverted commas, but you know, get your mum involved, get your dad involved, get whoever.
Call up your grandma, say it's time to play some Quiplash.
Exactly.
I know you've got those sick burns in you, Nana. get on Skype. I'll stream it to you. Don't you worry.
You and your notoriously filthy mouth.
I love Jackbox Party Packs. I've got 5 out of 6 of them.
Oh, really?
And we play them all the time with people who come over, although they can't come over anymore. So, but there's a handful on there that you can play with just two people. I don't think there's any solo, but certainly like if you're at home with your significant other and it's just two of you, there are some games in there that can work for both of you. And if you have a family and a hold up with them, then absolutely it's good for that. There's tons of variety other than we just put the first one in our list, but there are like 6 packs in total and they've all got hugely different games that are all definitely worth playing, and you can absolutely play them online. I played it once. I was in a room full of like 6 people, and then I invited a friend in, and I was just sort of sending pictures of the TV screen to that friend over Facebook Messenger to show them what was going on, how did they win, and that kind of thing. And you get enough of the instructions through your phone screen and whatever device you're using that actually you can usually play most of them without needing to be in the same room. So it is a really clever game, and as you say, only one person needs to buy it, so if everybody else is kind of worried about money and that kind of thing, as you might be at the moment, it's a very cost-effective way of playing some games.
Totally. And the main benefit for me is just that I think there are a bunch of people who are going to be stuck away from their families or their parents and stuff like that, and that's the thing that gets a bit tricky for people to deal with, and this is a way to get everybody involved in a way that they, folks who aren't core gamers or whatever stupid term you want to apply to it, you know, they're not going to be playing Fortnite, but they can understand Pictionary or whatever. So, like, this is a great way to keep everybody together and have some fun. Likewise, Uno, that's another one that's a free version of that game, which is currently available. Free to play on both iOS and Android, and you can play with your friends. So that's a classic type game that everybody kind of understands, no matter how old or young you are. Minecraft is another great example of something which has, you know, a fundamental multiplayer thing, but also a social thing. It's not just, it's not really built around competition so much as people interacting with one another. And there's, since that Bedrock update happened, you can play on mobile with the people who are on console. It's gone cross-platform. So that means you can just wander around, create your worlds, and other people will be there. It's another way to play, but also socialize and chat and all the rest of it. And the classic, which we threw in primarily because my mum still plays it, Words with Friends. Come on, everybody loves a bit of Scrabble. It's Words with Friends, baby. That's the one. Like, that is the thing where we got my mum an iPad and she took to it pretty well. Mm. And then I said, oh, you know, maybe try some games and try this. And I discovered she's got like five other people she plays Words with Friends with and has these games going on in tandem. I'm like, mate, that is elite. Fair play. Like,
that is the hardest of hardcore gaming.
Yeah, I'm massively up for it. So, like, again, this is another way where it's an asynchronous thing. You just pick it up and you don't all have to be sat there playing, and you can have several games on the go. And Scrabble's great, and everyone gets Scrabble, and you can play it with anybody. And it's just a nice, free, easy way to take your mind off some stuff and stay in touch with people and have a chat while you're doing it. And, you know. So these are six examples of games. Again, we've got our 25 best multiplayer games full stop list, and we'll be adding to the free one too. So do check back with both PGBiz and .com, because given what we do, as in we're already working from home, we sort of used to this to some degree. Yeah. The whole having to fight people to the death for a roll of toilet paper, that's new. Not particularly welcome, but the rest of it, the home office stuff and the isolation and the staying at home all day for 8 hours, we're kind of accustomed. And the online thing, obviously we work in this industry anywhere, and if there was ever a time where people were looking online for content to keep them distracted, the time is now. So we are effectively doubling down in this time to make sure there is stuff for everybody. So keep it locked here. We're gonna sort you out. Finally, good news, Sky Children of the Light is coming to Android next month. So this has been out on iOS as of last year, and it's lovely. And if you're not familiar, it's the kind of spiritual successor to Journey, basically, from that game company. And it was a lovely thing. It was released free. It's kind of got an ever-growing thing. It's got seasons, and the game is kind of, you know, seasonal in its aspect as well as its release schedule. Lots of lovely changing colors and whatnot. And it's a pretty elegant, soothing, nice thing. And again, could use a bit of that around here. So Android next month and Switch later in the year.
Yep. There was actually a Nintendo Indies showcase this week.
Oh, really?
That I forgot to mention.
What happened there?
I didn't think there was much interesting in there, if I'm completely honest.
Okay.
But there was some cool little games. So I'll just quickly run off the ones that come to my head. There's a game called I Am Dead, coming from Annapurna, who...
Oh, I saw the trailer, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So that's, I think, being led by Richard Hogg, who I think he created Wilmot's Warehouse, which is a big PC game that was recently, Hohokam, which was huge on PS4 and really beautiful. And he's like an artist-turned-game developer who makes really amazing, beautiful little toys rather than games, I would argue. And this is like, you are a dead person floating around a village, and you can sort of float into buildings in the world that like kind of peels away as you go into the walls and stuff and just watch people going about their lives. I'm not sure what the game actually is yet, but it looks really fascinating and lovely. But yeah, that's coming to Switch later this year. We've got Hello Games, who are best known for doing No Man's Sky, have decided that they're sick of doing No Man's Sky for a bit. So they're doing, I can't remember what it's called, I think it's The Last Campfire, I think is the name. Also coming to Switch later this year, and that's a cute little, looks like a puzzle adventure game sort of thing, kind of Zelda-esque in that sort of like interacting with the world rather than like graphics. It looks very cute. It was a few days ago and I've already forgotten what most of these games were.
Well, I'm glad to see them doing this, because even though like No Man's Sky has kind of swallowed up what people think of in terms of Hello Games, yes, they're the No Man's Sky people. They've been making it for 4 years now. But before that, they were Joe Danger.
Yeah.
That excellent little motorbike game that was kind of a bit trousy but cartoony and had a sequel as well. And they were both brilliant little games. And, you know, No Man's Sky completely blew all that stuff off the map to some degree. So I like to see them going back. They've got a, you know, good track record of making really good games in other genres.
Yes, it's nice to see them breaking out from under that sort of shadow of No Man's Sky. Although the game has improved considerably in the years that they've been working on it. As you mentioned, Sky is coming to Switch, and that looks really great. And Exit the Gungeon, which was an Apple Arcade exclusive landed on Switch this week as well, immediately after the presentation. Very good. And if you've not already played it, is a very neat little roguelike. It's really hard to describe, actually, because you're sort of trapped in a small room that is constantly moving and there's new enemies coming in, and all you can really do is jump between like three different ledges while shooting everything in sight. But it is sort of roguelike in the way it's procedurally generated dungeons, and each new run will be different and you get new guns every time and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. Very, very nice little thing. But yes, if you've not seen the Nintendo Indies showcase, check that out. That's on YouTube somewhere. There's probably an article on pocketgamer.com that I've not read.
I'm sure they've done loads. Dave was all over it.
Yeah.
So go check those out at the minute. But yes, Sky Children of the Light for Android next month. Out and about this week, we're going to start off with Animal Crossing New Horizons, which is the game of the era in many ways. So, for reasons we've discussed. So, I obviously haven't played this, not being a Switch person. You're a Switch guy. We've got Dan, who's a Switch guy. In fact, most of the other people have Switches in
you
this
really
company.
Need to get on board, James. It's embarrassing at this point.
I've got too many games.
Just add another 100. It's fine.
Okay, fine. So, Dan did our review for Pocket Gamer. We're not going to bury the lead. It got a platinum award. It got our highest possible commendation. And obviously it's appeared in the Cowley household as well. But I understand you've had to watch it remotely.
Yes. So the game actually went live at midnight last night, or like 4 minutes past midnight. We were there at 1 minute past midnight and it wasn't letting us in. So it was very, very stressful times for us. So because of the rule of having only one island per Switch, I'm sharing the game with my partner. And so I let her have first dibs because it's only fair. And she's super, super, super excited for it. So I did get to sort of experience it, but I've not personally played it myself. I can talk about the first 45 minutes of the game because that's all we played.
What's the general gist?
So the general gist is you start off, you get to design your character, which is, I think, a series first, that you actually get to pick your character, like, choose and create your character at the start. Usually it's randomly generated. And all you had is sort of gender choice. But now you can choose hairstyle, nose, all this kind of stuff. And then you go on a plane, you go to a quiet little deserted island. And no matter what time you start the game, it actually starts during the morning. So the tutorial area for the first ever time is kind of like in its own temporal space outside of time. And then once you finish the tutorial, you actually get into the real-time aspect of it, because that's the main thing about Animal Crossing, is that when you're playing, if you're playing at 10 o'clock at night, it's 10 o'clock at night in the game.
Gotcha. Okay.
Whereas for the first 45 minutes of the game, you're stuck in whatever time the game wants you to be in. Another series first again. Usually you'd just start the game and it'd be like, oh, it's 2 a.m. Let's do the tutorial anyway. And then so it introduces you to, you get to walk around, meet the characters. The game is absolutely gorgeous in HD and on the Switch and in the big TV. It looks fantastic. Because I've only ever played them in sort of handheld and on the GameCube, and it obviously, that's a very old console at this point. Now it looks stunning. It's bright, it's colourful. You get to see the day sort of progress. So you see all the different, you see daytime, and then it starts going a bit twilighty, and then it goes to dark. It is all these tiny little things that I'm talking about. There's nothing really beyond that. It's all in the tiny details of Animal Crossing, because the rest of the game is basically everything you've done before, except now there's a little bit of like crafting to it. You pick up raw elements, you can craft stuff out of that. That's the new addition that's changed everything, and you can also terraform your island, but that's not going to happen for another 60 hours, I believe. So... Okay. A very long-term commitment.
Well, it's a game that I've only been around the periphery of, obviously because I haven't played it, but I've played the mobile version that came out, you know, the DNA one, or whoever did it with Nintendo, which is a very, very, like, watered-down version of what it is, but it gave me sort of some idea. It's a slice-of-life game. It's build a little thing and go to a shop and buy some stuff and, you know, grow your garden and do some fishing and little bits and pieces, idle fun, keeping your own little island nice and neat and lovely and doing things in it. which does sound appealing at the moment, so I totally get that. Dan was, you know, very, very positive about it. He mentioned the crafting elements as well, and it's that DIY thing that you have to do, DIY recipes to build things. And the only thing that he points out is just like, maybe it adds a tiny bit of like grind and stuff.
But I mean, that's kind of what the game's always been like, in terms of like, you've always had to go around scrounge resources like fruit and fossils and stuff, and then sell them and make money and keep upgrading your thing. So the grind is basically the whole game.
But the other thing he says is that it's a real-time game, as you mentioned, but it doesn't punish you the same as other games if you like miss a day or two. Because I know that if some things exist in real time, and this is the problem with all kind of online MMOs and even Destiny and stuff like that, whereas if you dip out of it for a couple of weeks, you come back, everyone's, you know, 20 levels ahead of you and you just can't compete anymore and you've just been left behind. And I don't think it's quite so vicious to you, this one, despite the fact that it is kind of persistent, as in it's going on in the background. But yeah, I've heard nothing but positive things. I've heard that, anecdotally, that tarantulas are terrifying.
They I've keep seen popping pictures up. Of them. They look horrible.
Yeah, and scaring people. And everyone was like, what? They're a what? Nobody mentioned this? So that's been freaking people out. But all I've heard, it's been really nice. This is one of those times, and I've said it before in the past with old games, where I'm not into it. I'm not in the hype bubble. But I'm standing outside it, watching everyone getting all excited and being really happy and delighted. And it's really nice. Just kind of like passively enjoying it through other people, because I can see how happy it's making people. And it's like, good. So, a success for Nintendo in this. Good timing, lads. Animal Crossing New Horizons. hope, and I know for a fact as well that Doom has been very well received, which is the other half of the meme that's been generated from these two games coming out at the same time and the same day. That lovely community crossover thing that's been going on. So, fair play to both of them. And they're both good, and it's exactly what we need right now. So, let's head over to mobile for a little bit. Now, we've played a couple of games on the new releases list. I've also been catching up with some games from like the past couple of weeks. So, I've played a lot recently. But let's start off with what we played a bit of. Evil Hunter Tycoon. Which is kind of like a role-playing game where you manage a town with a bunch of Kairosoft thrown in for good measure. Remember all the Kairosoft games?
Yeah, there was sort of just bar builder RPGs, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. And they came in the wake of the game dev story and all that lot. But you play them in portrait mode. This one is kind of like a fantasy version of that. So you start out, you've got a town, you've got a bunch of people wandering around it. You got some hunters. You click on a hunter. You tell them to go and do some hunting, and they go and do that, and they bring back some gold. And the gold means you can then build an apothecary or something, and you can start crafting potions and stuff which you can give to people. And you just build up your town and send everyone doing their thing. So it's one of those games where everyone just wanders about the screen, and you tap them and tell them to go and do things as and when. It's a bit micromanagey, as we point out, and it'll, you know, you keep having to generate cash, and that's the problem. So there's an element of that. Keep grinding, keep telling people to do busy work, otherwise you won't have the funds necessary. I've played it for a couple of hours, longer than I expected, but I like the style. That kind of pixel art style is done really nicely. There is something charming about the hunters wandering around and giving you jip when you send them off to places. And I think Dan's played this even longer and says when you push up through the difficulty levels, it does get quite rewarding. So there is something there. So that's an iOS and Android free-to-play thing, Evil Hunter Tycoon. You've played a little bit of Teamfight Tactics, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Now, is this one specifically, or just these kind of battle chess, auto chess games?
Well, I've never actually played an auto battler before.
Ah, right.
But I have been aware of them, and Dota battle chess and all that kind of thing. And this one is this is Riot Games, creators of League of Legends. This is their first ever mobile title, and it's their swing at the battle chess auto battler genre. So I played through the tutorial, and I really don't understand what I was supposed to be doing. So basically, you have a little creature, and I think everybody is represented in by like these tiny little creatures. I had a little penguin. It was very cute. I loved him. and then you there's like a carousel of heroes, and you all have to run forwards and pick up your hero, and then you're thrown into battles where you've got to buy more heroes and then put them on a grid and then watch them fight. And the sort of the general gist of it is you need to be building a certain team to increase buffs. Each hero has like two types. So there's like there's snipers and brawlers and Chronos, which I don't really understand. But the tutorial is like, right, build up a team of Chronos characters. So you try and buy as many that have that stat, and then if you put them on the battleground together, then you get like it improves their attack speed. I guess if like there'll be different buffs for different sort of types. So you stick them on a battle, you watch them do their thing, you don't have any input whatsoever, and then that stops and you move on to the next battle, and you just sort of keep cycling through all seven of your other competitors, and then there's little breaks here and there to go back to the hero carousel for a new hero for free.
Yeah.
You can level up by spending gold, and that lets you drop more heroes onto the battleground. You can buy more heroes in the planning phases. If you're super into like the battle chess, and especially if you understand League of Legends, because all the characters I believe are from League of Legends, which has like hundreds of heroes at this point, but I don't recognize any of them, so I have no idea what's going on.
The joke is kind of lost on you, isn't
it? Yeah, all the lore is just goes straight over my head, and I don't know my Ashe from my whoever. Like, it's just bow person with big hands, person with gun. It's like, oh, yeah, buy three person with gun and they level up. And like, okay, that sounds great, let's do that. So, you know,
and I felt the same as you when I fired up the first auto chess game, which was like, I did the tutorial and went, I'm not sure I've quite got a handle on what this is. And it took me a little while to be like, right, so the idea is really it's about who you choose and placement.
Yes,
that's what it's about. Because when you put them down, I was like, oh, I can tell them what to do. It's like, nope, they go off and they do their thing. So what it's about is choosing the right clusters of characters and putting them down in the right place. Mm. That's kind of the game aspect of it. And recognizing where, like you said, if you get all of these characters together, they all buff each other when they're in range of one another and stuff like that. So that's the tactical element of it, and then you just let them go and do their thing.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I can't compare it to any other games in the genre because I've not played them. I think it maybe could have done with a bit more optimization for mobile. I'm playing on an iPhone 11, and like my thumbs are just all over the place. I'm just tapping stuff, and I don't know if I'm hitting the right thing or not, and all that kind of thing. And so you have to really look to read some of the text and stuff like that. It's not really well designed for mobile play, I think. But I think if you've already played it on PC, because I know it's been out on PC for a bit, and you kind of want to take the experience on the go, then absolutely this is definitely worth checking out. I think new players who've never played an auto chess or never played League of Legends are going to be stuck and a little bit frustrated, as I was.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe not the entry level one, but if you are familiar with some of either the genre or the Dota, Teamfight Tactics, that's out right now, and that's free on iOS and Android. What's this Naruto game? Because I went looking for this and I couldn't find it.
I have no idea.
Oh, good. All right.
End of conversation.
Lovely. Well, it's on the list. Naruto x Boruto Ninja Tribes. And I was like, all right. I went looking for this game, and it pulled up Naruto x Boruto something else.
Brilliant.
But Dave, our man in the anime field, has been playing this, and it's turn-based battler, and apparently it's quite good. It's a lot of the reports, he's a fan of these kind of things. So this is from the Crunchyroll lot. I've seen the trailer. It looks like an anime, you know. I ain't got much more for you than that, I'm afraid. But if it turns out to be amazing, we'll mention it later. But Naruto x Boruto Ninja Tribes, that's out for free right now. Land and Castles, that appeared. You gave this a bit of a go, but you weren't super keen, right?
Yeah, I don't really know how to describe it. It feels like a strategy game, but there's not really much strategy to it. So you have a little knight, and then you have to build a castle, and then your castle starts generating new knights, and then you tap that, and then you tap where you want it to go, and then it starts going, and then it gets into fights which you can't control, and you just sort of randomly win, and then you take over more castles and stuff. I think the main sort of draw of it is that so the world is like mostly sea, and there's little plots of land here and there.
That's right. It's almost like a lane-based RTS.
No.
No?
No, it's at, the world is actually open, but you need to sort of plot where you want, you need to plop your little bits of land down, which is okay. where the land and knights comes from. So you can sort of shape the world to help you build new paths to get to other players, or I don't know if it's multiplayer, but other sort of castles and stuff. So as you're walking along, you might reach the end of a thing, but it's only sort of one square between you and another set of land. So you drop a piece of land in, and then you can walk across, and that leaves you open to attack as well, but also means you can progress on and start attacking other people. I think it's really lovely in terms of the graphics, and I think some of the mechanics work. I don't like the fact that... So you, when you select a unit and then you tap where to move it, you deselect that unit and it just starts moving. And this is another problem with me. I think I just have really big hands and two small, like very small screens to play things on. So I would tap the unit and then I'd send it to the wrong place and I go, oh no, I want to be like one square over. So I'd have to reselect. And then as I'm reselecting, I'd tap it to the other side of the screen. It'd start walking off. So I had to grab it again. Right. And yeah, so it's kind of frustrating in that way. I think it's really interesting. I imagine if I spent a bit more time with it beyond the tutorial again, it would finally click at some point.
Well, this is iOS only at the moment, and Land and Castles is the name of that. There's a little explanation up on a PG at the moment. Now, that's kind of the new release list that we've got, but I've also been playing a couple of things, A, that were soft launched very recently, but also a little bit of catch-up. So something that did sort of just appear on our account is Angry Birds Casual, which is the latest kind of like, I guess it's a return to form or a return to the classic idea of what Angry Birds used to be, because originally it was the pull and release physics based game, but from, you know, the past decade of progress, we've had nothing but every single genre known to humankind. They've done racing, they've done RPGs, they've done everything. This is very much like back to the OG Angry Birds, catapult, bird, blocks, smash, like classic stuff. And they labeled it casual, Angry Birds Casual. And I was like, all right, so this is going to be like a super mellow stripped down version. And I think the name is the most misleading thing in the world. The presentation of it is almost more childlike. Mm. So they've made it look, it's got a hint of that Yoshi's Island thing going on. Everything's a bit brighter, a bit cuter, and like there are stars in the sky and the clouds, but they're all being like suspended from strings like it's some kind of diorama. Huh. So it's got that where it has the appearance of childlike stuff. However, the game is more complicated than the original Angry Birds ever was. Which I find quite interesting. So you've got a whole cast of new birds. You're still trying to, you know, smash down buildings, but instead of trying to destroy piggies, they've made it more like sweet and liberating by having basically their chicks are actually in amongst the blocks, and you're supposed to free them from the blocks. So instead of it being an attack, it's a liberation. Sometimes, however, the birds that you're trying to free, the little chicklets, they are in jars, like glass jars. And in order to free them, you need to make sure the jars hit the ground and shatter so they can then fly away. Sometimes they're in little bubbles or balloons. And so you need to make sure that you free them from the surrounding structure and that they float up to the sky and touch the top of the screen. And then they'll be free. And then you've got the birds themselves. And the birds' powers are way more complicated. So in the original game, you had like the red bird, which was just an attack. You had the bomb bird. The bomb bird is still the bomb bird here. Nothing's changed. But like the yellow bird, right? That used to be a triangle, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd smash into the wall and it would explode into three different birds.
You that could was tap blue
it
bird.
And go boof. Was that the blue bird? I thought yellow
bird was speedy.
Was fast. Okay, yeah. Gotten backwards. But yeah, so those are the original powers. Here, they're completely different. The yellow bird, when you tap on the screen, it suddenly does a little loop and then shoots across the screen horizontally.
Okay.
And then there's a lady grey bird, which does the same thing, but you tap on the screen and she shoots down at the point of impact. The red bird doesn't even do his normal thing. The red bird does this like ping ball style attack. So when it makes contact, he goes do 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 and bounces off about five things before attacking. The best one is Stella. She's back, but when she makes contact, she turns into a bubble. And that bubble envelops all the blocks that are near it, and then it floats up.
Okay.
And it stays a bubble, you know, it rises up for a few seconds, and then the bubble pops. Mm. And so whatever it's picked up, it then drops. And that's a really nice way of destroying things. So you aim for, like, the bottom corner of a structure, and it starts floating into the air. So the structure starts to kind of topple because you've ripped the corner off it. Mm. Then the bubble pops and all the debris falls down and starts smashing it all to pieces. It's like a really satisfying delayed cluster bomb kind of thing. And then you start to get into levels where the chicks are dangling from bits of rope and you have to smash through bits of rope with your birds, like cut the rope. And they keep adding this stuff, and it's like, this isn't casual. This is, like, way more complicated than the game that you're supposedly doing a casual version of. The presentation makes it appear more childlike, but the actual content is a lot more layered than the original Angry Birds ever was. So it's like, oh, okay. It's actually quite nice to play the original Angry Birds again, with these new powers you have to learn and these new structures and the blocks being different. And there's a lot going on in it. And I was quite like, oh, I remember why this game was a simple idea that kind of caught the imagination of everybody.
Mm.
So it was nice to sort of be reminded of it. And just a simple pull, play, you know, physics game on mobile, like in the old days, before a billion different currencies. Simpler times, Rick. But that's currently on soft launch in the States at the moment and a couple of other places. It'll be over here, I'm sure, very, very soon. But don't be put off by the childish-looking stuff. It's fun and it's complicated and there's stuff to learn. I had a surprisingly nice time. What else has been played? Oh, that Castlevania Symphony of the Night game.
Oh, yeah.
Had a go on that. It's the port of the first Castlevania to ever appear outside of a Nintendo platform. The one that arrived on the original PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
About, as we said before, when it originally came out, about like 8 or 9 sequels in or something. Because I was like, which one is this? This must be 2 or 3 or 4. It's like, no, it's about 10.
Yeah.
Because they had loads of versions on the NES, then the SNES, then the Game Boy had a bunch. So there's loads. It's quite a decent port. It looks amazing. They've captured the, you know, 16-bit aesthetic. Because even though it was PlayStation, this is before they went 3D with like, I think Lords of Shadow, was it? Was that the game that came out recently in the noughties?
Yeah.
They did a third-person version, but like, so it's still a classic side-scrolling, you know, pixel art game. They've done a fantastic port of it. It runs smooth as butter. There's more saving options for it being mobile. The controls are decent enough. That's the main thing, because it's still, you know, just left and right and attacky. It's, you know, just the cardinal directions and all that. It's good. It's playable on a touchscreen. It has controller support out of the box, so to speak. So if you do have a controller you want to plug in, get your Xbox pad involved or whatever, do that. It is a better game for it. But no, it works, and I think the reception's been pretty positive for everybody else. So it's a £4.99, $4.99 affair, but a decent one. You been playing anything else?
I had a quick go on a new visual novel game recently.
Oh, this is the episodes thing, isn't it?
Yes. So yeah. On mobile you have stuff like episodes and a bunch of games that try and ripped off episodes, to put it lightly. But this one is called Charisma, and it's sort of main draw of it. Well, there's two sort of main sort of pillars of it, is that one, it's got artwork from actual, I don't think it's actual graphic novels, but they're working with like artists who have worked on proper graphic novels before. So it's got, instead of episodes sort of had animations and stuff, but it always looked a little bit ropey and a little bit too cartoonish. This is very much like still images, very beautifully hand-drawn and really detailed backgrounds and that kind of thing. But the main draw of it is that instead of being given a list of options, you have to respond to characters asking you questions in the in a text box. And then like an AI in the game sort of picks out certain words and phrases that you use, determines what you actually mean in the context of the game, and then puts you down a certain path.
Right.
Which sounds really interesting. But obviously, that's the problem with these kind of AI things is that they work really well if you play along. And as soon as you start trying to break the game, you sort of look behind the curtain a bit and go, ah, okay, there's only so many actual moves I can make here.
Yeah.
So it launches with there's 4 stories to start with, but obviously the first one you're going to jump into is the one that's actually got Sherlock Holmes in it, because why would you not play the Sherlock Holmes game where you can actually physically speak to Sherlock Holmes?
Of course, he's in the public domain, isn't he? I keep forgetting. Yeah.
Not in the US, though. But,
oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't know if they're launching over there yet, but it is in the UK. Anyway, so one of the first things you get to do is you have a conversation with Mycroft, Sherlock's brother, and he's like, oh, we need to come up with a ruse about how we met because he can't know that we worked together or anything. So we have to say we met at a party. What kind of party should we say we met at? And the first thing I wrote in was sex. And to be fair...
Very on brand.
To be fair, like Mycroft's first response was, hey, nothing too sexy, try again, kind of thing. Okay. So I tried...
Saw you coming.
Yeah, exactly. So I tried Dungeon instead, and that didn't work either.
Ah.
If you play along and play nicely with it, then it'll feel like you're actually in a conversation. As soon as you start like trying to insult characters in it, it kind of falls apart a little bit. But it just this kind of like, oh, it's an open text box, you can say whatever you like. All right then, I'm going to say your mother as many times as possible in the next 5 minutes.
We are terrible, aren't we?
Yes. So one of the interesting things is that it's free to play, and you are given, like, you can unlock one chapter from one story to play with straight from the off to get a feel for it, and then you have to buy the extra chapters as you go. In episode, they would give you free chapters each day. I'm not sure that that's the case here. I'm just looking at it now to double check. No, I think you do need to pay for each new thing that you play, which is a bit annoying. But it makes sense because they need to make money at some point. And the chapters can be quite long. They're a lot longer than the episode ones, which are usually about 5 minutes. Unless you decide to deliberately fail the thing. So there's a
you
bit...
really are trying to break this, aren't you?
I was really curious. So there's a bit where Sherlock Holmes turns to you and says, oh, are you sure you want to come with me on this adventure? And I was like, no, I don't want to do this. And he went, oh, well, you're free to walk away at any time. Is that what you want to do? And I said, yes. And it went straight to the game over screen. And I was like, oh. Well, I'm done now. And so the good thing is you can restart any chapter that you've unlocked. So once you've unlocked a chapter, that's yours forever. It's not a case you have to pay every time you want to play it. But it is the case that if you mess around too long, the game will just kick you out, which I think is kind of funny. It's an interesting way to do the mobile visual novel kind of thing, which usually has very tight restrictions on the story, and obviously because it's free to play, they need to keep you engaged with the game in some way, so you'll keep playing and want to unlock more. Like in other visual novels, they don't need to worry about that, so they'll just go on for ages and ages and give you like no choice, whereas in this there's regular choices. You can you just type in whatever you want. Sometimes it'll ignore what you say, so you do have the opportunity to say whatever nonsense you like, and then there are other times where you do need to give like sensible suggestions, and you'll get called out if you start being silly about it. So it's if you're interested in that kind of visual novel thing, I think it's an interesting way of doing this, the whole genre. I don't know if it's there yet, where it's gonna sort of take off, but that's just a problem with open-ended visual novels in general, is you can't create enough content to accommodate for every single scenario, especially if you're trying to tell Mycroft Holmes you met him in a sex dungeon, which they did cover, which I'm really surprised by.
They did cover it, and is a novel I would read. So get on that, Mark Gatiss. Cool. All right, then. Well, I think we've probably... we've covered a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games you've mentioned there. There's a lot out this week. There's a lot of free things you should be playing and getting involved with. And that's the takeaway. You are in the right hobbying genre for this particular time in history. So well done, everybody. You chose wisely. Now is not a time to be a netball player. And there is loads of stuff to keep you occupied and interested. Loads of stuff that will facilitate you either staying on your own, chilling out, getting involved with friends and having fun, relaxing things, exciting things, the whole spectrum. And we're going to be here through all of it. So do carry on listening. Do check out the sites. Do stay safe and wash your hands. And we love you very much, of course. I can't speak for Rick, I suppose. he's indifferent to all of you. But I'm very fond. So this, stay in one piece. Come and join us next week for more chat, and we will see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.